We have come to the end of 2020 Sunday School, and this is the last study for this year. And we are going to conclude on the notes of hope, of strength, of faith, potential possibility of developing our faith significantly. Let's end this year on a note of great hope and confidence in the Lord. May our hearts be greatly, greatly encouraged. Let's turn once again to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Now we come to the last part of it all. Now we have taken quite a bit of time to look at the journey of faith of Zacharias, how on the external part of it, he was blameless, righteous in all the tasks that were given to him. But deep down, he struggled with a faith that was vibrant, that was strong, that was deeply meaningful. When the angel Gabriel came to him and gave him a special message from God himself about his son to be called John, Zacharias could not believe what the angel had said. How could this be true? He was already very old, and it was as if he and his wife were past the time and the age when they could have children safely. And yet, there was no question as to the clarity of God's word and promise to Zacharias. And because of his unbelief, he had to be chastised, he had to be chastened, and for the next several months, he would be unable to speak. But that period of time allowed him to renew his faith, refresh his faith, strengthen his faith further. And when the time came when baby John was going to be going through that ceremony where he would be given a new name, where he would be circumcised, that special time saw Zacharias filled with the Spirit of God. And he went on to give a wonderful prophetic utterance concerning God, concerning God's plans of sending the Savior to fulfill all that he had planned hundreds of years ago. But then there came a part where Zacharias focused his thoughts on his son. This was that special son that God would give to him and Elizabeth. What would that son become? It will take discernment, it will take wisdom, it will take understanding to appreciate what Zacharias is going to share with us. And this is important for us to take note of. It is the work of the Spirit of God as much as it was the angelic message. And the Spirit of God will be needed. His work of creating regeneration, life, is only a part of his overall work. There are other aspects of his work. And we see this in Zacharias very, very much. The Spirit of God would fill him. He would enlighten him. He would empower him to believe in all that the angel had said. And so we are going to take a look at the prophecy concerning the life of baby John. And this gives us much scope to ponder what we can become, what children can become if the Spirit of God were to fill our lives. That's something to think about very, very, very much, very carefully. right? Well, let's take a look at these things here in chapter 1 and verse 76. Now, of course, when Zacharias spoke these words, as it were, to baby John, he wouldn't understand. He was just 8 days old. Of course, he would not be able to comprehend. But that's not the point, is it? The potential is absolutely clear when Zechariah said, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest." How wonderful it is if we were to look at our life and think of what it means to be a servant of God. Well, we do not have to become a prophet to serve God. We don't have to be a priest or a king or a great psalmist like David or an apostle like Paul and Peter. We don't have to be all that. But we are nevertheless servants of the highest. This is a reference to God. Sometimes we forget that we are serving God. And that thought of it all sort of makes our service for God somehow seem a little less meaningful. But to think that we are serving the highest, to be a servant of God, well, I think that is really, really outstanding. The ministry of the prophet was highlighted for a number of reasons. You see, during this time, the ministry of prophecy had been silent for literally at least 400 years. The last prophet that God had sent was actually Malachi. And the word of God had fallen on deaf ears for so long. And, you know, even if he did send prophets, the sad reality was that very few people actually paid attention to what they said, what they taught, what they emphasized. They were so caught up with their own lives, so caught up and meshed in the problem of the world and of sin. But the ministry of the prophets must be recognized and appreciated far better than they really, really are. The ministry of the prophet of God was not just in prophecy. It was also in prayer. It was also in proclaiming the word of God. And this was something that we must not take for granted. The prophets were basically divided into two categories. One, we call them the non-writing prophets. The non-writing prophets, the ministry is just as significant. Elijah did not write a thing, nor did Elisha. Nevertheless, their ministries were vital, they were vibrant, they were very necessary in the days of King Ahab, where that king ruled Israel in the most wicked way. That God also raised up writing prophets, that's well known. And we are the beneficiaries of the writing prophets. Of course, we can name all the prophets who wrote, both major and minor prophets, from Isaiah, Jeremiah, to Hosea, to Malachi, you name it. There is so much depth, so much knowledge and wisdom to be found, to be obtained in the written writings of the prophets. And so the ministry that John would one day have was actually something really, really striking and significant. It was to God, it was to Jeremiah that God spoke one day and told Jeremiah that the Lord knew him before he was born. And the Lord had ordained him to be a prophet even before he understood anything. Well, this is what we are reading in John, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 76. And this is absolutely important. John would be that prophet of the highest. Now, John would leave no written material for us. His ministry was going to be very short-lived. Nevertheless, he was called a prophet, even for a very brief moment. That title would be remembered and will be understood as significant. We may not be called prophets, but let us not downplay the role, the work that God has entrusted to us as his servants. We may be serving in very humble ways, but remember, the significance is not in us. The significance is to be found in the idea that we are servants of the highest. In other words, servants of a great, great God. Well, what was that role that John would play? Well, this was actually disclosed by the angel Gabriel. And so what Zechariah said was just to confirm what the angel Gabriel had already said. In Luke 1, 15, 17, the work, the ministry, the significance of John's ministry had already been highlighted. On a personal side, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He may not be great in people's sight. After all, he lived in a wilderness, and his food was wild honey and locusts, and he was dressed very, very simply because he was living in a wilderness. He would be great in the sight of the Lord. This was what the angel Gabriel said. What is significant is that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is something not to be taken for granted either. So the ministry of the Spirit of God, though it may not be fully understood, nevertheless, it would be a ministry that is vital, that is of great significance. The angel Gabriel also went on further to talk about how he will become effective in ministry. He will turn many of the children of Israel away from sin, away from the world to the Lord their God. That is his work. You know, it is Galilee of the Gentiles, it was called. Galilee had more Gentiles than there were Jews in that land. And so it was riddled, influenced by all kinds of Gentile ways. But John's ministry is going to turn people away from the work of the lifestyle and beliefs of the Gentiles back to God. Now that would be an effective ministry. Now, when he will serve the Lord one day, and that would be many, many years later, the angel Gabriel said he will go before the Lord in the spirit of Elijah, in the power of Elijah. Now, that is really quite something. Elijah was famous in his time, in the days of King Ahab. Elijah continued to live in imagination of many Jews. He was literally like an example, a symbol of what it means to be truly and fully empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, very few people can be likened to Elijah the prophet. But John, his life and ministry, the angel Gabriel described his ministry would be like that of Elijah the prophet, full of the Spirit, full of the power of God. Now that is really, really quite significant. He will need all of that in order to turn away people from sin back to God. His ministry was described as the turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children. What does that mean? It means simply that there were family problems. Problems in a family where parents and children cannot get along together easily. But John's ministry is going to be such that he will help families to be restored. He will help families to come back together once again in the worship of God. It would be a restored family situation. And that is wonderful. So a description of the ministry of John the Baptizer went on further. He would help people. He helped the disobedient to come to know the wisdom of the just. Now that is saying something. Because people who are disobedient are not necessarily people who are going to be very wise. The fact that they walk in disobedience will tell you that they are not wise. But this ministry is going to be so effective, he will turn those who are disobedient to consider the wisdom of the just. Now, all these things are wonderful descriptions of what John would attempt and achieve in his life. And that obviously would take the power of the Spirit of God. His task was to make a people ready and prepared for the coming of the Messiah. So if you take a look at these ministries, you will have at 6 different descriptions of the effective ministry of John the Baptizer. Zacharias could not believe such a description. First, he could not believe that he would be a father. He could not believe that his word will come to pass, and John would be born. And now this description about what John would become, he found that impossible to believe. Well, that was Zacharias' problem. But now that he has been restored, now that Zacharias himself is filled with the Spirit of God, he could now say these things about his own son. And he said to him, "And you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Now, this was something that was really, really special. Now, let us remember that Zacharias was a priest. And being a priest, his greatest joy would simply be that his son would follow his ways and continue to be a priest. But to be a prophet was really quite different. To be a prophet would mean that he would follow the Lord's leading directly. It will not be a priestly ministry. He could be found anywhere, everywhere God would send him. But he was willing to accept that if John would indeed go before the face of the Lord, that is the important thing. Not so much as where he would minister, but that he would go before the face of the Lord. That is the most important thing. John's ministry would be a preparatory ministry. He will prepare the way of the Lord for the Messiah to come. He is not the Messiah, but he will just be a servant of the Messiah. What else would he do? He will give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins. Now that is an important word. John's ministry is going to prepare people to enter into the kingdom of God, and he will preach a message of repentance, remission of sins, leading to knowledge of salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is something that we want to think about. So John's ministry was briefly described. Once again, Zacharias found himself speaking of the Messiah. And that is important. The Messiah's ministry is a demonstration of the tender mercy of our God. The great mercy of God would be shown, will be seen and evidenced in the very life of the Messiah himself. The Messiah will be the dayspring from on high. He will bring light. He will bring warmth. He will bring everything that the dayspring, the star, morning, the hope will bring to the hearts of all who would hear him. In Luke 1:79, we read, he will give light to those who sit in darkness. He will bring light and hope to those who sit in the shadow of death. This is very much like Matthew chapter 4. And he will guide the feet of people into the way of peace. Now that is really, really and very, very challenging, enlightening message, as it were, to his own son. Would John understand anything that he said at that time? No. But it was a prophetic word. So between this utterance of prophecy and the time when this word will be fulfilled, what would John need to do? What would the parents need to do? Now, this is something that we need to consider. So as we look at lives and life's potential of what a child can be in the sight of God, of how he can one day serve God, that is something that we don't want to take for granted. And so we see how John, I'm sure the parents were involved, they ensured that John would grow. And so we have a very brief description in chapter 1, in verse 80, Gospel of Luke. Well, we read, and the child grew. That is our commitment to all our Sunday school students. We want you to grow. We will help you to grow in any and every way possible. Grow in what area? Well, 180, the second part of it, we read that John became strong in spirit. And that's what we want to think about. Real strength is not really only the physical expression. The greatest strength is to be found when one is to be strong in spirit. And it's going to be something that we have to work at. Growth depends upon, yes, the external factors, our parents, our teachers, but growth depends also upon us. How much we will respond to all that has been taught to us by human beings and by the Spirit of God. And if we learn how to take all these teachings well, then we can look forward to growing and growing well. And we can grow strong in spirit too. And if we can do this, then we would be in a position when we can serve God significantly. This is something that we need to learn. We read further, and John was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Of course, he did not go to live in the desert when he was an infant. But there came a time when he was old enough, strong enough, wise enough, and he had learned many, many things, readying himself to serve God. When he would follow the leading of the Lord to go into the wilderness to fulfill a prophecy, literally, a voice in the wilderness. And he would be that voice. Well, as we wrap up the Sunday school lesson for today and for this year, we must ask ourselves, how do we want to review this year? Well, I think as we take a look at the subject of faith, we must recognize that there is a plan of God. There is always a plan of God, and it involves God, it involves the Spirit of God, it involves the Lord Jesus Christ, and it involves us. Our part is to understand that plan of God, finding knowledge and wisdom. As we conclude this year, we must recognize that we need that power of God, no mistaking our need for the power of God. And that power is to be found in being filled with the Spirit of God. And our desire must be to us that the Lord will fill us with His Spirit. We are a people chosen by God. Both the Apostle Peter and Paul wrote about this, that we are a people chosen by God, chosen for salvation, but also chosen for service. If we will bear these things in mind, we can look forward to 2021, determining to grow in our faith, in our life, in wisdom, in knowledge, in every way possible, so that we can fulfill the plan of God, find the power of God, be the people chosen by God for specific purposes. What is your program for growth? Well, our program for Sunday School Growth is to provide knowledge, is to encourage faith, is to pray alongside, to pray with you and for you, that you will find that strength in your life and in your faith. I would like very much to challenge you to consider all these things and then plan for 2021. Let it be a year of faith. Let it be a year of serving God. Let it be a far more fulfilling year than it has been in 2020. We have gone through a lot this year. We have suffered a circuit breaker situation. We have looked at worship services and how they have been curtailed. And even though we are allowed 100 people back, it is still a far cry from what we used to enjoy. How long this will continue, we don't know. But it must not cause us to curb or curtail our ministry. My challenge is for all of us to conclude this year on a note of prayer, on a note of determination, to look at what we can become. God planned baby John to become His servant one day. And when we are saved, when God gave us salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can end up serving God in a most wonderful way. But part of the reason why we do not do this as well is because of a lack of growth, a lack of growth in knowledge, understanding, faith, discernment, wisdom. Let us try and address these problems and ask the Lord to grant to us His grace and mercy so that we can truly commence 2021 on a note of joy, on the note of commitment, on the note of a tremendous determination to make our lives count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank You for the example of baby John and how, even before he was born, plans of the Lord were already in motion. Help us to realize that You are as involved in our life. Help us to respond to You in faith, in understanding, in a desire to live for You and to serve You as we should. And so we pray, thanking You firstly for keeping us this year, 2020. We pray also that You will help us to look forward to 2021, to look forward to a time when we can grow further and one day take our place in serving You effectively. Grant us Your grace, Your mercy, and Your power as well. We pray in the Lord's Jesus' name. Amen.